What's going on, guys? What's going on? What's going on? Let's make sure the audio and visuals are working properly. All right, cool. We're looking good. We're looking good. All right, what's going on? My name is Ola, coming to you live from my Empire Pro Studios on this fine Monday, fine, extremely cold Monday, as I'm broadcasting this for the first time. So if you're watching a real broadcast, congratulations to you, because thank God for YouTube, we can watch this over and over and over again. If you're brand new here, make sure you download this. It's absolutely for free. It's called Smart Real Estate Wholesaling, and you can find it at smartrealestatewholesaling.com. And that's the book. That's a 300 pages book that you need to read 10 to 15 times if you want to master this game of wholesaling. And yes, this is the third part of a series on a crash course on how to do wholesale. And on the first episode, I gave you an overview, okay, of what wholesaling is, why it's a legit and legal form of real estate investing. Even if you don't have cash or you don't have credit or you don't have, you can absolutely get started in this game. If you don't have cash, chances are you have some time and you can invest time into this and make a very lucrative sums of income. But today we're going to be talking about finding motivated sellers, okay? Finding motivated sellers is what we're going to be focusing on today. And as a matter of fact, I'm calling it my $82,000 deal formula. So how did I find that particular deal? On the second episode, we'll talk about finding the leads and that leads to the deals, right? So we talked about that. But on this episode, we're diving in a little bit deeper. We're digging a little deeper into how to find motivated sellers, okay? Because the truth of the matter is that the rule of the game is motivated sellers. So we're going to talk about that. You know, I don't know if you've been in this game long enough, but you've probably encountered a situation where somebody says they're not going to give away their house for free. Right, we're going to talk about that. But before we get into all of that, what is wholesaling? I think I should take 30 seconds to define it and explain what it means to you in case you're stumbling on this video for the first time. If you're stumbling on our video for the first time, make sure you subscribe, but more importantly, make sure you start from chapter one, okay? But what is wholesaling? As a refresher, in case you're watching it in the right order, wholesaling is basically the heart and the science. It's both an art and a science of finding deeply discounted properties. Okay, that's it. That's really what you need to do or learn how to do in order to make money with this game. Everything else is a bonus. Everything else is a little bit advanced, but everything else can be offered to you for free when you master the heart of finding deeply discounted properties. If you master the heart and the science of finding deeply discounted properties, then everything else is very easy. People will pay you handsomely for the rest of it. People will pay you brilliantly for just for learning how to do that. Okay. So, and that's what we focus on here. Okay. Sorry, somebody's opening the door, so I'm a little distracted, but I'm back to you. All right. So that's what wholesaling is. Okay. There are other aspects of it. Once you find deeply discounted properties, right? There are other parts of it that you focus on, like for example, finding cash buyers, like for example, finding you know, learning how to write the contract, learning how to whatever, you know, all those things are extras, you know, extras you will learn how to do with experience in this game, okay? But the truth of the matter is that you don't need, again, to engage in wholesaling and start making $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 and up to $82,000, which is my highest, okay? You don't have to have any cash, any credit, or any experience. You just need to have some kind of will, of course, right? Desire, a strong enough desire, and you need to be in the right place in the right time. If you're watching this video, you're in the right place at the right time. So I wanted to share that with you real quickly. So with that being said, we're going to dive into a little bit of a formula. I want to give you a formula because once you encounter people, start encountering people, there's a little formula to making this work. And I want to share that with you on this video. Now, before I get into deep, How much can you lose in this in the game of real estate investing? How much can you lose? Yeah, that's a question to you. You can lose everything. Okay, so it depends on where you're coming from, depends on your on who you're surrounded with. It depends on like about a thousand zillion different factors. But the most important part of that is you as a factor in this game. Okay, you as a factor in this, that's what it depends on. So I wanted to make sure that you're very clear on that you understand how that works. Okay, the it can be a risky game, but that's the more important reason why you must learn wholesaling strategy, because the most edge you're gonna have in the game of real estate investing is in wholesaling, because you really don't have to invest anything to make some money. Okay, so if you make $1,000 wholesaling real estate, your return on investment is infinity. Okay, yeah, I know you may have spent some money on driving for dollars on gas. No, I'm not gonna count that, because people that invest real money in actually buying real estate have to do that as well in a lot of ways. They have to invest in gas. So that's not gonna, I'm not gonna count that, okay, as an investment. It is, but not really in this context, okay? So what I want you to pay attention to there is that your return on investment is the closest thing to infinity when you master wholesaling. Also, when you master the skill set of wholesaling, it's the best way for you to find your next deal in case you decide you want to fix and actually flip, like you want to buy, fix and flip. If you want to buy, the best way to find out is to learn wholesaling, because you can actually say one out of every wholesale deal, you actually want to buy it and flip it. It doesn't stop you. It actually enhances everything else you got going on. If you want to buy, fix and hold, it's the best way to find the best deals as well too. All right, so it's very important that you note that. I wanted to add that before we dive into today. So the number one thing to finding a deal, okay, the number one thing to finding a deal, number one prerequisite to finding a deal is to find a motivated seller. You need people. You need a person who is motivated to sell. But most of the people you're gonna encounter, most of the leads you're gonna encounter in this game are not gonna be motivated, okay? They're not going to be motivated. Doesn't mean they don't want to sell, but they're not motivated enough to sell at a deep discount. Okay. So a lot of times, your skill set on how to talk to them, on the right thing to say to them, or all these other things, right? Or your skill set in that respect will create a motivated seller. Okay, so a lot of time you're not gonna have a motivated seller out the gate. They're not gonna show up to you as a motivated seller. You're gonna hear all types of things. Like I said, when you call a person, let's say for example, you're employing the cold calling strategy, right? There are seven different possible answers you can get, right? The first one is, yes, I want to sell my house. But that's one out of seven. Okay, most cases you're not gonna get a straight yes, right? Hey, are you open to selling your house? Yes, but that's just the first step. Yes. Well, can you sell me your house at a 35% discount minus repair cost, right? Minus the cost of repair. Most of those answers are gonna be no. So how do you get that to a yes if it's so difficult, right? If it's not a simple yes, right? How are you gonna get that to a simple how are you gonna get that to a yes, okay? How are you gonna get that to AKA a motivated seller? Somebody that need to get rid of this property, they don't care how much they're selling it for. They just need to get rid of like this thing is hot fire and it's hot. And they can't withstand holding on to it. They need to get rid of it. They need to dump it, right? If this thing was hot, right, I would need to dump it, right? Right? So why would I need to dump it? Like right now, it's not hot, so I can hold on to it. Sorry, I need to sip on some water. So it's actually very, very, there's a lot of pleasure in sipping on this, okay? But if this was hot, like a 100-degree centigrade, right? If I put this in my mouth, it's gonna hurt me, and I'm gonna want to spit it out, right? that property exists where somebody needs to spit it out. But sometimes, not sometimes, a lot of times, most of the times, people are going to be hurting, but they're in denial, okay? Because it's not exactly like a hot water, right, in your mouth. But they know they're hurting, but they're not yet there. You know, they're in denial. They feel like they're giving away the property. You're going to hear things like, hey, I don't want to, if you're calling me about giving away my property, I don't want to give away my property. And a lot of times you have to know how to say the right thing to them to get them to a place where they realize that they are, in fact, hurting. And them getting to know you is not, after all, a bad thing, you know. But you need to learn how to say certain things the right way in order to get them to that point. There's a certain energy you need to bring to the table in order for them to feel comfortable, in order to admit that to you. And that's what I want to share with you. That's the formula I want to share with you. So people are not going to out the gate just want to give you their property, right? You don't want them to give you their property unless they absolutely need to give you their property, right? In other words, you're actually serving them. It's actually a valuable thing for them to give you their property. So we're doing something extremely ethical here, okay? Yeah, the information I'm going to share with you, you want to be careful with how to use it, all right? Because you can actually use it for evil, okay? But no, I'm teaching you how to use it to actually help people, help them get rid of a property that's actually hurting them, okay? Help them spit out a property that's actually hot, that's hurting them in the mouth right now. And that's what I'm going to share with you today. There's a formula to that, and that's what I want to share with you. So the one thing I want you to note here is that I want you to realize that every seller you talk to are not going to be at the motivated level already, okay? Very seldomly, you will find somebody who just knows already, like, take this away from me, okay? I encountered a lot of those. You would encounter a lot of those when you're dealing with pre-foreclosures, a lot more, because they have a real reason to get rid of the property, right? Or a pre-foreclosure where they are underwater, right? Upside down, they call it, right? It's a type of a lead. I talked about that in the last chapter. It's a type of a pre-foreclosure lead where they are facing foreclosure, but it's also upside down, meaning they have negative equity, meaning they don't have any money in interest in the property, meaning they owe a lot more than the property is worth. For example, the property is worth $200,000, but the property was worth $500,000 3 years ago. They bought the property at $450,000, but now today the market is hurting, so the property is worth only $200,000, even though they owe $450,000 on that property. That means if they have to sell that property, not only will they have to sell at $200,000, they have to put an additional $250,000 out of pocket to satisfy the sale, because the mortgage company that they owe $450,000 to will take the $200,000, but then they need additional $250,000 to allow the sale to go through. That's called upside down. That person knows that they need to get rid of the property, but sometimes some of them are still in denial. See, value is an opinion. The value of a property is an opinion, okay? But it can be a professional opinion based on the data in the marketplace within sales data in the marketplace within a period of 6 months, last 6 months, and within a 1 mile radius, right, of that property, subject property, right? So these are reasons why people would need to get rid of a property, all right? People may need to get rid of a property based on that. So it's very, very important that you understand that not everyone will be like right there. Most people are not going to be there. But if you're in this game long enough, you're going to stumble into people that just knows that, yeah, I just need to get rid of it, right? And because you're in the game long enough, you're going to get lucky like that. I have another video on this channel called getting luckier in the game. It comes with consistency. You have to be consistent in order to get lucky like that. But in most cases, you're going to encounter leads and prospects that are in denial. So there are a couple of things you need to learn how to do to get them to the motivated level. Okay. All right. So let's get into the formula. The first on that list is an M that stands for motivation. Okay. The M stands for motivation. All right, so let's talk about motivation really quickly. Motivation is everyone that's trying to sell has a motivation. They have a motive. All right. So, and you need to find out what that is. That's the first thing you need to find out before you even know how many bedrooms, before you know how many bathrooms, before you know if there's a garage, before you know what type of neighborhood is it, before you know if they actually hold too much money. You need to find out why, in their own words, why do they need to sell? What's the motive, right? The first question is that, depending on who you're calling, depending if they call you, if it's inbound or outbound, right? If it's an outbound call to us, person that's on the phone right now, you say, hey, I'm calling about 123 Main Street. I was wondering if you would like to sell that property at this moment, right? And you need that to be a yes, okay? If it's not a yes right away, you need to turn it to a yes. If it's very negative answer, like, why are you calling me? Don't call me ever again, then obviously hang up and keep it moving. There are seven possible answers there. There's yes, there's no, there's maybe, there's if the offer is right, there's how did you get my number, right? How many is that? Yes, no, maybe. If the offer is right, how did you get my number? That's five, right? And there is, there's FU, of course. That's the sixth, there's another seventh one. But I have another video on that, okay? The bottom line is that all six minus the negative, like extremely negative one, if somebody is extremely negative, you need to spit them out as fast as you can because you're human and you need your positive energy all the time. But the other five answers can be turned to a yes. You have yes, but you can turn a no to a yes. Actually, you can turn a maybe to a yes. You can turn if the offer is right to a yes. You can turn, right? You can easily say, if the offer was right, how much are you willing to accept, right? To accept. Basically, we have another video on that. But once you turn it to a yes, the next question is that, why do you want to sell? Right? Do you mind if I get some information on it? Okay, why do you want to sell? Oh, I'm moving. I'm retired. The property is underwater right now. We're owing way too much on it. I don't know. I'm looking for someone that'll be able to do a short sale. Some people already know what they want to do. Some people don't even know what that is. Some say, nah, we're trying to sell, but we owe too much on it. And they say, oh, that's okay. Well, do you want to sell? If they sell yes, then you say, okay, why else do you want to sell? Okay, because you owe too much on it. That right there is a motivation. You need to write that down. You need to keep it in your back pocket before you continue the conversation, because you're going to find that information very useful along the line. Because again, when a motivated seller is motivated, sometimes they don't stay motivated. Sometimes you have to remind them the original motivation. Why do they want to sell? So you need to find out the motive, the motivation, why, MMY, MMW, why do they need to sell? That's the first key. That's the first information, the first variable in the formula to find a motivated seller. They must have a motivation in the first place. So sometimes they say, oh, they just want to sell. No, because I want to make money. Money is not a motivation, okay? Money is not a motivation, okay? I want to make money. It's a motivation, but not really a motivation. But it changes the dynamic of the conversation. If they say, because I just want to make money. Oh, if you want to make money, okay, that's a different. Then we must be looking to get your highest and best offer. Have you considered listing this with a real estate agent? That's the next question. You really can't offer that person a price that will allow you to get a deep discount. You have to now switch your hat to, hey, let me solve your problem. You should always be in that mode anyway. You should always be wanting to solve a problem. So the problem now is that they want to make money. Help them make money. Help them get highest and best offer. The problem is not running out of time. They have time, okay? So because they have time, they don't have to buy into your deep discount offer. They don't have to buy into your low ball. That becomes a low ball offer. See, low ball offer becomes a low ball offer only when people have time. If they don't have time, your low ball offer is not really a low ball offer. It's actually the market value offer, so they can sell now because they don't have time. Okay. So again, we're talking about dynamics between when you're talking to a person for the first time and turning them to a motivated seller. This is the formula to turning a person to a motivated seller, because most of the leads you're going to encounter, most of the prospects you're going to encounter are going to be in denial. They're not going to come out the gate being a motivated seller. Okay, so the first on that list is motivation. Okay, all right. So after you find out they have a motivation, you now need the KLT factor. Okay, so those are all three different variables that you need in order to make this to happen. Okay, it's called KLT, and it basically stands for know, like, and trust. Okay, know, like, and trust. The know is kind of taken care of depending on what kind of marketing channel or marketing strategy that you use. Okay, basically, when you say, "My name is Ola, I'm a real estate investor in Newark," and that's knowing. They know you. They need to know who you are, because if you don't say that first, they're gonna be like, "Who are you? Are you a realtor? Who is this place?" They ask you that question. Well, give them the answer. Let them get them to know you. Okay, so that's a simple answer. Now, if you're using Facebook marketing, if you're using any type of remote strategy, you need to do a better job at that. Okay, so for example, if somebody is seeing an ad on Facebook, they need to, "Ola is a real estate investor who has been in the game for 15 years. He's helped a lot of homeowners because he has a lot of cash. He has access to a lot of cash to close deals fast, 7 to 10 days. And a lot of people have been on the brinks of losing their property, and it's helped them save their credit by buying the property quickly out of their hands," right? So that's knowing. Okay, now that's the next factor: motivation, right? And then the K, the knowing. They need to know who you are with respect to what you do and how you supposed to solve a problem, how you're a professional that can help them solve their problem. You're not some kind of person that doesn't know what they're doing. You know what you're doing. Even if your first deal, you still know what you're doing. What you're doing is you're calling somebody that you can help get rid of or dump a property that they don't want. Does that make sense? That's not what agents do. An agent help people get highest and best offer. Realtors help people get highest and best offers on their property because the homeowner ideally should have time, at least 60 to 100 days to put it on the market properly, and they should be willing to pay a commission to an agent. You don't make money from commissions, okay? No, you make money from an investor who you've helped secure a contract on a deeply discounted property. That's what wholesaling is, okay? You go to a property, you say, "Your property is worth $100,000 with the right exposure and time to the market, okay? But you need to close, you need to sell now, you need that cash right now. Well, I can solve that problem. How much work does your property need?" "It needs $10,000." "Okay, well, this is my offer. It's my all cash offer. We can close in 7 to 10 days, $55,000. How did we come up with that number?" "Well, it's $100,000. 65% of that is $65,000. We need to fix it. It's going to take about $10,000 to fix it. So $65,000 minus $10,000, $55,000, because we have to make profit and there's holding cost, while we're working on the property, so that, we can get you $55,000 cash immediately." And they say, "Yes," right? That's ideally, right? But if you're going to an agent, you go to an agent, you say, "You know what? Property needs work, about $10,000 work. I'm going to spend that $10,000, put that $10,000 into repairing the property. So that's going to take, I don't know, maybe the next 3 weeks, right? So now I need to have at least 3 weeks. I can't be in a situation where I need cash now, all right? So 3 weeks, I got 3 weeks. I put the work in, $10,000, right? And then we're now listed on the market. We should have room for 60 days minimum if it's priced the right way. Then I go to a realtor. Now, in addition to that $100,000, I have to pay the realtor 3%, right? So now, in addition to 3 weeks, I need $3,000 in the deal, okay? Then I get, if everything goes right, I make $100,000 minus $3,000, right? Minus $10,000, minus $13,000. So we end up with, a net of 97, no, $87,000. So you can save them all of that pain, right? You trade that for 87 minus 55, right? That'll be 32. So $32,000 that basically they pay you for saving them whatever they need that cash for right away. Can you make $32,000 from that? Yes. Can you make 22? If you make 10, would that be okay? That's what we do. That's a little bit different. So again, there's motivation, but there's no. Now there's like. They must like you, must get them to like you. So they might my key formula to getting people to liking me. Let's talk about liking people, right? Because again, motivation, no, which is K, right? Like, you must get them to like you. People are going to be like, if the offer is right, so, all right, that's okay. I'm willing to give you the offer that will satisfy you. Can we talk about that? You see, you need to acknowledge, right? And then ask them a question. Okay. See, if you're interested in people, you become interesting. Okay. The people that are interested in people become the interesting people. Okay. And that's how that works in the world. Okay. So if somebody say, it depends. I'm not willing to give it away if the offer is right. If you're talking to a homeowner, right? And yeah, are you open to selling your property at this moment? And say, they pause a little bit, right? The skepticism kind of kicks in, and you're like, I mean, just tell me, you want to sell? No, it sounds like it's a yes. You want to sell? I'm looking for a property to buy right now. He said, yes, if the offer is right, I'm not looking to give away my property. He said, okay, I can dig that. I can understand that. That's fair enough. So if the offer was right, how much is the lowest you're willing to go if the offer is right on this property? I mean, can you give me an offer? I'll give you an offer right now. Sure. Are you open to an offer on the property? Yeah, I'm open to an offer. All right, so let's talk about the property, because I can offer you $1 million right now. Would that make you happy? It's like, oh yeah, that of course that property needs to be worth a lot less than that, right? Well, can I justify my $1 million I'm going to give to you, right? And then they find that you're a little jokey, so there's a little fun in the conversation. You're not stressed. They can feel if you're tense on the phone. They can feel it, by the way, right? So you say, I can understand. I can dig that. You know, my job is to get you the best and highest offer for your property. Is that fair? Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so can we talk about the details of the property? Yeah, how many bedrooms? So why do you want to sell again? So usually, sometimes, even though the real answer, I need why they want to sell, the motivation right away, right? But sometimes I'll throw how many bedrooms just to throw them off a little bit, just to not sound like I'm looking for why they should be desperate, right? How many bedrooms? I write that down. They're like, okay, all right. Why do you want to sell again? Oh, then when I say again, basically I'm pretending like they've already told me, but it's just, again, it's just a word I throw in there to make it feel a little bit comfortable for them. But again, it all depends on the energy, the dynamics of the conversation. But the goal there is then acknowledge anything they're saying at any point in time and ask questions that are open-ended that will get them talking a little bit more. Don't just say how many bedrooms, right? Just, don't start the conversation all the way like that. Say how many bedrooms again. And then, make it conversational, okay? That's the job. That's how you get them to like you. Remember, we're talking about getting them to like you. You need to acknowledge anything they say. If they say, well, my property is worth a lot more. Yeah, I understand. Why do you think it's worth that much? That's an open-ended question, right? In the midst of the conversation, we have a whole lead sheet, by the way, in the back office area in 3pillarsystem.com. If you want to join, it's only $10 a month, and you have my mentorship for $10 a month, okay? Not only that, I help you get rid of your deals. If you secure deals, I can help you get that happening, okay? But anyway, so we have a structure of exactly how we ask questions. So we will say, hey, what do you think the property is worth? We don't want that. If you say, what was it appraised for? It's a little bit different from what do you think the property is worth, right? What do you think the property is worth has an element of acknowledgement in that, okay? Because you're acknowledging that they have an idea of what they think their property is worth. And if they don't, they will tell you, well, I haven't checked the market in a while. I'm as of last year, I think it was, once they start talking that way and they're calm and they say, as of last year, I think it was probably worth around 200. Once they start talking that way, then you have them and the right on your side. Okay. It's you and them against the numbers. Okay. So your job is to provide them. You want to educate them eventually. Okay. Excuse me. Let me make sure I sneeze properly without sneezing into the video. All right. So you basically want the conversation to be conversational, like I was saying, and you want to bring them to a place where they feel open. They start feeling like talking to you. I've talked to people before, and like And like 15 minutes into the conversation, they're like, wait, how did you, I'm scared. How did you get me talking like this? Right? Because you're good at being interested in what they have to say. So the way you do that is you ask open-ended questions. If you say, how many bedrooms? Of course, you're going to need to say that at some point, right? But if that's all the kind of questions you're asking, you're going to be robotic. It's going to feel like you're a robot, like you're some kind of machine, and it's uncomfortable. And say, I don't have time. Then you're going to hear things like, I don't have time for this, right? But if you say, hey, you know, I like the house, you know, but you know, I need to talk. I need you to give me some information. But when you say that, they kind of like position to give you discrete data. But then you go like, what do you think the property is worth? Oh. So you think it's worth 200 last year? Okay. Do you think the market went up or down? And then if they're too not comfortable telling you that, so listen, I need to help you get the, I want to make sure I want to give you the highest money I can give you on this property, but I need to be able to justify that. Is that okay? They understand that. Listen, I'm an investor. I'm in this to make money. I know you understand that. And they will tell you themselves that they understand that. But again, it's about the conversational part of it. You want to make it conversational. You want to relax. If you're looking at your script, you can take your eyes off your script a little bit and see what they said the last time, acknowledge it, and ask another question based on what they just said. Oh, I'm moving to Florida. Oh, wow, you're moving to Florida. Did you retire or something? Ask questions like that, little personal questions, not too personal, but personal a little bit, where they can feel the need to share that with you. See, people like to talk about themselves. Okay? So anything that's not borderline stalkish, but like you're interested in their next move, we get them talking. Oh, you're moving, though, you're retired. Oh, you're facing foreclosure with that? Oh, that's sad. Well, I can help you with that. Would you like to know how I can help you with that? You focus on that, right? Yeah. I mean, let me see. I mean, I've tried everything. You've tried everything? Well, you think you've tried everything. Well, I've been in this game for I'm with a team that's been in this game for a while. So I know that I get that all the time. I've tried everything, but let's see what we got. Is that okay? Is that fair? Yeah. It's a conversation, okay? But you got to get past motivation, okay? You got to, if you don't get past motivation, you won't even get to that area at all, okay? So now trust. You got to get them to trust you, okay? How do you get them to trust you? That's a very, very valuable and massive question. They have to trust you. They have to feel like they trust you. That's what it is, okay? They have to feel like they trust you. You know, I mean, I have to tell you this, and I use this as example all the time, not to spread a stereotype, but everyone, wherever you're from in the world, has a stereotype. I was born here in the United States, but I was raised in Africa and Nigeria, and I identify as a Nigerian. And the stereotype is that Nigerians are scam artists, you know, out there. There have been times that we're watching ABC, what do you call it? This 2020 ABC, and there's somebody being scammed, and then they find out that the person that's scamming them is actually in a hotel in South Carolina claiming to be a Nigerian. Anything is possible, right? But I get people tell me that all the time. I'm going to give you this example. There was this one gentleman in Summit, okay? This deal was in Summit, New Jersey, and he was like, oh, where you from? I hear an accent over there. I was like, oh, I'm Nigerian. I'm Nigerian. I was born here, but I identify as a Nigerian because my parents are Nigerian. And he was like, oh, you Nigerians, you motherfucking scam artists, blah. I was like, oh, that's what you think? I mean, I hear that too. I hear that sometimes, but that's not why we're here. But you know, would you like to hear how I can scam you today? I can help you get rid of this property. It looks like it's hurting you. So it's gonna take time for you to get to that stage, okay? But the idea is you acknowledge what they said, okay? Don't be dismissive about it. Don't get defensive about it because it's not about you, okay? That's their own burden that they're carrying. That stereotype has become his burden, right? He heard my accent. He wanted to know. He thinks he knows it all. Most people like that think they know it all. But your ability to be able to acknowledge and then flip it with a question, right, will make you better than the rest, than 97% of the world. Oh, yeah, I hear that too. I hear that Nigerians are like that. But hey, how would you like to help? Let me help you use my scam tactics to get rid of this house. All right, because it looks like this house is hurting you. He got to, you know, he got to a point. This is the trust level I'm talking about. He got to a point where he said, you know what? You know, all jokes apart, what you got for me, man? How much you want to pay for this property? right? We're talking about, I think it was a $1.7 million property in Summit, New Jersey, right? How much you want to pay for this property, okay? Now, he got to a point where he built enough, he was cocky, right? He knew it all, right? It's a guy who was probably well off, but he needed to get rid of the property. If you just, again, take yourself out of the picture in the conversation, be the person to be there to help them solve their problem, but you got to be skillful too. You have to be skillful. Acknowledge, ask a question. AA, acknowledge and ask. Again, ask open-ended question, okay? Use their words. It doesn't matter what the word is, okay? It could be scam, it could be whatever. Use that word and flip it on the end and use that to say, basically, I'm not attached to your meaning to that word, because at the end of the day, the meanings you attach to a word is what makes it, what gives it the life that it is, right? So if you, I mean, there's so many words like hustle. Like hustle used to mean stealing in certain contexts, right? But now, because we've attached a different meaning to it, hustle means you're working hard and you're a lion who's out there to make a lot of money. That's what hustle means this day. The meaning you attach to words will give it the life, will give it the sense of life that he has. So if somebody is using the word scam and they're trying to use it to get at you, flip it back on them. You know, acknowledge and then ask an open-ended question, you know. And if that means, well, you know, I mean, let's talk about how I'm going to help you get rid of this house, because that's what I want to talk about. How much do you want for this house, right? What do you want? Tell me what you want, because you're there to help them get what they want. If they think their property is worth $2 million, but it's actually a shithole, right? Like, don't go there and say, hey, your house is a shithole. If you tell them that, they're going to be defensive and they're going to attack back, right? You know, so don't do that, okay? If you go there and they say their property is worth $2 million, it's worth $2 million. Oh, wow. Let me look at the data in your area, what's going on within 1 mile radius. And at the very minimum, you know, maybe I can share some information about your property with you, even if you don't do a business together. I would love to do a business with you, right? So basically, you ask and you acknowledge, okay? That's how you build trust. You do that enough times. Consistency is the number one key to your trust level, building your trust factor, building your trust equity with the conversation. It could be, again, digital. It could be talking to a person, right? Your consistency in doing this over and over and getting better. That's why you must do this over and over to get better with it, right? Your consistency in doing that is what builds trust. Basically, you're showing up every time. Showing up every time is directly proportional to how much trust equity you have when you're talking to a person, your relationship with a person, okay? So that's trust. That's the second fact. That's the fourth factor. So we talked about motivation, like, trust, motivation, know, like, and trust. Okay. And speaking of consistency, the next one here is follow up. Okay. You're going to talk to people, right? And they have to go and you say, hey, can I call you back on Monday? I say, yeah, you're coming back on Monday. You just call back on Monday. Don't prejudge. Okay. Don't prejudge that they're not serious or anything like that. Just make it a part of your system. That's the way we set up automation to remind us. Again, automation is the second pillar in this game. If you're using my step-by-step formula, which you can find at 3pillarsystem.com, the second pillar is automation. The first pillar is value. Everything we've been talking about so far, motivation, knowing, like, trust, is how you bring value to the table. Automation is when you have things to help you facilitate giving that to the people, which is the third pillar, people, right? So let's talk about this real quick for a second. So the automation of follow-up. You need to be following up with people, because following up is another way for you to showcase that you're consistent. Okay. If you're consistent, you build trust factor. Okay. You build trust equity. So if people trust you, they will do business with you. So that's KLT, KLT, trust, follow-up. Okay. So MKLT, trust, follow-up at least three times. Okay. Follow up at least three times in a row before you drop that person into another list and you keep moving to other people. That's basically the follow. The consistency factor in there is directly proportional to to trust. Because remember, before you can be consistent, you have to commit, and then you're consistent, right? And that's how you build the trust factor, all right, that help people get to a place where they start telling themselves the truth and say, you know what? I need to get rid of this piece of crap, this house, you know, and I think Ola is the one that can help me. And you get them to know you, like you, trust you by following up with them consistently, right? And then before you know it, they're going to be your friend. They have your number saved. They know your number when you call. So two things can happen when people know your number when you call. They're going to be like, this guy is an A-hole and he blocked you. And they're going to be like, you know what? I trust this guy. He's someone that can help me. All of that is something that builds over time psychologically for them to trust you enough to say, you know what? Let me tell myself this truth. I need to get rid of this property. Sometimes that takes time. Part of the factor in building trust is time. That's why you're showing up all the time. So some of that takes time. It's like 3 months later. That's why you shouldn't shy away from following up with people 3 months, 6 months from now. There's a lot of deals that can come from following up with people. Create a system that allows you to follow up with people. All right. So that's something I wanted to share with you today. The last but not the least of this formula, okay, is actually something that's already there for you. And you can note this and add this to your back pocket. Okay. You can't say the wrong thing to the right person, and you can't say the right thing to the wrong person, especially if there's a motivation, okay? If you don't, now this rule is not applicable if there's no motivation. If the motivation is only just money, then this rule is not really applicable, okay? But once there's motivation, you could say all the wrong thing. This is my encouragement for you. You could say all the wrong thing and this person still want to do business with you. As a matter of fact, the energy that built the KLT factor, the know, like, and trust equity that you have with this relationship had nothing to do with you doing the right thing. Okay? This person just happened to be the right person. They have the motivation. They have to dump this property. They have to get rid of this property. And because you've created enough exposure and the one that you're showing up all the time, you're following up, again, you could be saying the wrong thing. This person will want to work with you. That's why I laugh at people. Sometimes they say, oh, but my accent. Your accent has like zero factors. Take that from me because I have a strong accent. It has zero factor. It's about you showing up to the table to the right person. If you have a targeted market with the right motivation, right motive to want to sell, you will have a motivated seller in your hand. And when you have a motivated seller in your hand, you cannot say the wrong thing to the right person, and you can't say the right thing to the wrong person. If you're saying the wrong thing to the right person, they still want to do the deal with you either way. Does that make sense? They still want to do it. If you say the right thing to the wrong person, it doesn't matter how right or what you said, how right it was. They want to get rid of you. They can't stand you because the motivation is not there. The motivation is not there to want to sell. So you can say all the right things, say the right thing in the script, the best script in the world, and say it in the right order, the right pace, the right posture, right? You can say all those things, but because that person is the wrong person, specifically because there's no motivation. So the first factor, the first variable here, motivation is the most important. That's how you get that with consistency, you will get motivated sellers. They will use you over and over and refer other people to you. So remember, this is my last word for you. You cannot say the wrong thing to the right person. You cannot say the right thing to the wrong person. The most important factor in all of this and finding motivated seller is motivation. There must be motivation and consistency, okay, in your operation, in your process of how you do this, right? Those are the two things. The KLT factor by default will build itself. I gave you some tips on how to build it. Acknowledge and ask open-ended questions. I already gave you that. But in addition to that, remember, you cannot say the wrong thing to the right person. It's just impossible. If there's motivation and you're consistent, you will find enough right people and you will close lots of deals, okay? Especially if you have the three pillars, which is value, which is basically motivation. When you find out motivation, you can give value, right? Automation. Consistency, doing it over and over, taking yourself out of the picture and using the gadgets that we have today, the devices that we have to do this business. Very simple ways, right? If you have a smartphone, you can do this. And people, You need people. You need motivated. You need actually need people. You need to reach out to tons and tons of people. So that's what I have for you on this episode. Don't forget to come back here for part 4. This was part 3. Make sure if you're stumbling into this, make sure you watch part 1 and part 2 in its entirety. Okay. And make sure you join us in the mastermind. It's only $10 per month. It's called the 3-Pillar System. Just go to 3pillarsystem.com to find that information. But if you want this book, it's absolutely free. PDF is absolutely free. And you can find it at smartrealestatewholesaling.com. And that would also lead you into 3-Pillar System if that's what you want. All right. SmartRealEstateWholesaling.com. And click like if I said anything that makes sense, that made sense to you during this 46-minute session. Click like, please, at least once. Make sure it lights blue, right? And make sure you share this video with anyone you think will find value in it. If you have any questions, opinions, advice for me, anything like that, just put it in the comment box below. Hopefully you've been enlightened and educated. I will see you on the next one. And peace.